Call the Conference Committee to order on House File 3280. And the first order of business would be to introduce the conferees. Representative Dale Lewick, author of 3280, and we'll proceed with
I'm State Senator Justin Eichhorn. I'm the Senate author of the bill.
State Senator Bill Ingebrigtsen, co-author.
David Tomasoni and Chisholm, where all the minds are.
I'm State Representative Dan Fabian. State Representative Dan Fabian.
Okay, and I guess somebody text Metz. We do have another member. He's not present, but he's aware of what we're doing.
Mr. Chair, just so you guys know, the House is under call right now, so we've checked in and so forth, and if we get called up to vote, Senator Eichhorn can run the show.
Okay, then next matter before us then would be to get a report from nonpartisan staff on the difference between Senate File 2883 and 3280.
Members, the only real difference is on Section 9, so that's on page 5 of both the House bill and then the Senate language, which is the House file, the unofficial engrossment of the House file. So if you just want to go to page 5. There's some technical differences in the heading on line 5.10 on each side. Obviously, the big difference is on 5.1, which is the House has $50,000 and the Senate has $500,000. And because of that, they have some additional language from 5.13 through 5.16 stating that of the amount must be is available for preparation of the report, and then the rest is for to carry out the recommended actions. There's a technical, some other technical differences on the Senate paragraph B. There's also paragraph B on the House side, does not exist in the Senate side. This would requiring the DNR to convene a work group. And then on paragraph C on the House side and paragraph B on the Senate side, some of the requirements of the report are different. For example, the House has clause 1 that kind of states that there's provide recommendations and actions necessary to preserve and improve health of existing natural wild rice beds. Clause 2 on the House side is exactly has all the same language. The Senate has some additional language on 5.23 and 5.24 saying tailored restoration activities to improve natural wild rice health and priority wild rice water bodies and to monitor, and then the rest is about the same. And then the Senate has an additional clause 4 on 5.28 and 5.29. And that's the substance of the differences.
Got to learn something new here. Got to push the button. Okay, it's the next order of business then. I know we invited Commissioner Stein. I don't see him in the room, so then I guess we would then move forward with the business before us. And I would recognize Senator Eichhorn.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, I would like to move that we go ahead and adopt the Senate language of the bill and move forward with that.
That's the motion before us. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, do we want to wait for Commissioner Stein, or do we want to just make the motion and go?
Mr. Chair, just a little confusion on the. I don't think you have to push the buttons on the mic.
That turns the mic off.
I think so. Red. Turns it off.
Is anybody in the audience have a indication of whether Commissioner Stein is on his way or he was just out in the hall? Okay. Then out of courtesy for Commissioner, I guess we can certainly wait as long as we know he's coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the Senate language, there's been a lot of discussions about the bill and so forth, but it's my understanding that, and maybe Senator Eichhorn can help me out here, who was involved in the negotiation of the language and it passed well in the Senate. If you could just walk me through that process, please.
Some of the advocates of the bill were involved in that discussion, as well as Senator Ingebrigtsen, Senator Tomasoni, Representative Metsa. It was kind of a collaborative effort between all of the co-sponsors of the bills to see if we could get to a point that would make this bill maybe a little more palatable for the governor to want to go along with.
Representative Fabian.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And so, and we can see on paper, but I just would like to maybe get it on the record. For my perspective, the biggest hang-up was the amount of the money and so forth. Senator Eichhorn, is that correct?
Can you repeat, sorry?
Yeah, the biggest hang-up was, what was the biggest hang-up between what the House sent to you and what you put into your bill?
Senator Eichhorn?
Mr. Chair, the only piece that was the hang-up was the money piece, and we felt that having that money in place would help with some of what we wanted to do with the wild rice restoration in particular. We thought that's something the tribes were asking for. It's something that the advocates for the bill were asking for, because at the end of the day, we all kind of agreed that we did know wild rice was important. It's an important asset to the state, and we did want to do something that would actually be beneficial. And with this money, we would be able to do that restoration, which would actually help the wild rice, unlike the standard, which wouldn't do anything, what we're trying to get rid of in the bill.
Follow-up,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to kind of point out, too, that we had discussions with Representative Metsa about this at first. I didn't go along with it, but I'm comfortable with it now, and I think we're in a good place. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I'm certainly not going to speak on behalf of Senator Tomasoni, but I haven't been here near as long as him in the Senate, but I have been.
It shows.
I have been involved in the wild rice standard situation, wild rice standard discussions for sure over 6 or 7 years. Back in 2011, I know we expended, I believe at that time, $1.5 million to do the study, and I think many thousands of dollars have been spent since then. So I'm glad we're finally coming to a finality here today.
Representative Fabian, any further follow-up? I see we have Commissioner Stein with us, and I would invite the Commissioner to say a few words just to bring you up to date where we're at. We do have a motion here to accept the Senate language, but would certainly welcome your comments as to where the agency is.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, my name is John Langstein, Commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency. Shannon Lotthammer, our Assistant Commissioner, is with me. And members of the Conference Committee, I appreciate your taking time to hear from me tonight. The agency is, I'm looking at the letter that the governor sent to the conferees and just trying to reflect a bit on what's happened in our development of this water quality standard. And I think where we began 7 years ago and what we've learned over that period of time is that this is a very complex subject. And we've certainly learned a lot about the science, and we've moved a lot of important information forward to articulate how wild rice and sulfate in the water column interact. That leads me to the second part of adopting any water quality standard, which is to recognize that every water quality standard gets implemented through permitting actions and decisions. And as we've worked on this water quality standard in developing the implementation plan, we did not sufficiently describe how we would implement the standard in a way that would be understandable for up to 60 to 70 businesses, including mines, taconite mining operations, including other discharges, industrial discharges, as well as 60 to 70 municipalities that are discharged to waters that receive, that contribute to wild rice areas. That effort to articulate how we would implement the standard leaves us with the need to do more work, and the governor's letter expresses a desire that we do that together, that we find a path to develop a plan and a way to implement the standard effectively. The governor would like us to have the opportunity to do that, to sit down and work cooperatively. We think that there are some ideas that would help us constrain this within existing law. The governor has expressed his sincere desire that we cooperate in developing something that is economically and technically feasible as a solution. The current treatment technology for sulfate in water is not technically or economically feasible under the definitions that would apply using the Clean Water Act requirements. That fact means that there's a path forward within existing law to find solutions, and we would like the opportunity to do that. Knowing that your conference committee has taken up the report, and having said our desire to work together on a solution, leaves me with the hope that we could do that, the hope that we could work together over the coming days and generate alternative language. And as chair and members of the conference committee, I stand for and answer any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Just, I don't know if you were here. We are under call, so if at least the House members have to go for a roll call vote, we're not trying to disrespect you. Representative Mesa?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, when we're talking about the technology that's not economically feasible, that is reverse osmosis, for the record.
Chair, Representative Metza, yes, that's correct. It's reverse osmosis at the scale that community wastewater treatment plants would have to treat, or a large discharge from a mining operation or any other industrial discharge. It is not economically or technically feasible because of the volume of flow and the complications of energy cost and media filtration that's very expensive to change out.
Any further questions of the commissioner? If not, then we'd have nonpartisan staff lead us in what we need to do here next on to move this forward procedurally.
Mr. Chair, members, it sounds like you moved the Senate language, so you could just instruct nonpartisan staff to work with the revisor to prepare a conference committee report after you adopt.
I say, unless there's further comments from members here, I think we've reached that point. Senator.
So, Mr. Chairman, given the governor's letter and the threat of a veto, I'm fairly certain that this conference committee is going to move the legislation out as is and use the Senate language. I'm just going to encourage everybody to, in the next 3 or 4 days after we pass this conference committee report, because today's Thursday and I don't think anybody's meeting in session until Monday. So there's a few days over the weekend that where if people actually do want to negotiate and find a solution that the governor can sign, I think it's, there is ample time. And I would encourage us to try and get something to his desk that he will sign. I actually hope he signs this one, or lets it become law without his signature. But if he doesn't and is adamant about his wishes to not sign this bill, then I'm hoping that if people are sincere about coming to another resolution, that something happens over the weekend.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Metza and then Representative Fagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just like to put a few things out. I concur with you, Senator Tomasoni, on coming together to try to find something that works for everyone. I know today we got, 518. We found out we are coming here. And I know that our RAMS organization, Range Association of Municipalities and Schools, would probably like to discuss what the ongoing options are, and that if this were in a position to get a veto, that they would like to make sure that it's in a position it doesn't. We've got our communities, Hoyt Lakes, which we've heard in testimony. Thank you to Chair Fabian. That Hoyt Lakes, for example, has a $50 a month increase. And for someone on a fixed income, I think it would be responsible of this committee and the legislature to make sure that if there is a path to making sure that we can avoid a veto option, that we try to go down that path and make sure that those communities and wastewater utility payers essentially don't get stuck with the bill because we wanted to play politics with it. I think this has been a very serious issue. We've worked across the aisle now for many years in terms of getting the, again, thank you to Chair Fabian, the KeyTac permit, for example. That was 300 people going back to work. And I know Mr. Sutherland had come down and testified that that was one of their key decision-making factors in putting that plant back up into operation. And so this is a serious issue for all the communities, and if we can move forward in a way that finds a solution, I think it's pertinent that we do that. And the letter here, I was encouraged to see come today. I wish we could have done some of this earlier in the session. However, politics are politics, and we are where we are, and so I just hope moving forward from today that we can continue to keep that open mind and open dialogue over the next few days here before any final decisions are made.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think that this is the prudent thing to do, is to move this forward tonight. This is not a new issue. This is something that's been boiling around here as long as I've been here, and I'm disappointed that through this process, the administration, to the best of my knowledge, has not been very engaged with the author, and I might be wrong, but that's my perspective. There's ample time to do this. We've had this in our committee. It's been over in the Senate. This was passed on Tuesday, and now this is going on, and people's hair is starting on fire because, oh, we have to slow down. No, folks, we need to speed up, and I'm very, very comfortable with doing what we're doing tonight, so thank you.
I'll just add, you know, we started on this. We finished both the House and the Senate versions on Monday. We had both bills in place. Got a phone call just a short time ago from the governor's office, and so we started the discussion. Unfortunately, that should have started on Tuesday. It didn't, and I know I'd reached out by telephone until barely 2 hours ago, we heard nothing. And again, I don't want to get into big finger pointing. What the goal here is, and there's going to be a lot of folks going to come forward over the next couple of days, is simply have all the pieces of the puzzle in front of the governor on his desk when the folks come in and explain where we're at from a community standpoint, so that they can see right there. They can sign the bill. Doesn't have to sign it. Could certainly let it go into law without his signature. But I think it's time we just set all the pieces on the table, and we're going to have to make a decision, and it'll be the governor's turn to make a decision this time. I want to, you know, certainly continue to work in every way possible because we're here to solve this problem. But we can't continue as a personal friend of mine, Tom Enzel, would say to continue to admire this problem. We need to get on with it. One of the important things is here, frankly, this just cleans up the slate, and the intent here is to give MPCA a blank sheet of paper and to go on down the road as necessary. So with that, I would renew Senator Eichhorn's motion to accept the Senate language. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and I would instruct the staff to make those technical changes necessary and get the conference report to us as soon as possible for signature, ideally yet tonight, because I know we've got a number of people that have got a lot of other things that we're doing. Anyway, and I want to right off front here thank all the staff in particular. I know you folks have been working night and day on this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and also the governor's office and the folks at MPCA. Again, it's just another step forward as they say it's time to get this ship underway. With that, we're adjourned.